So today we meet the figure of John the Baptist, who is bearing testimony. But the testifier is God himself, because God comes and the dove comes down upon his son, and the voice is heard, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." God himself is giving testimony on behalf of his son. And our faith receives the testimony of God and soars and acknowledges that. Every time we come to the Eucharist, the Father once again testifies in the Holy Spirit, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And we receive him into our lives. The body of Christ. Amen. The testimony is given once again by the Father himself. The same testimony John received, and then John bore witness to us. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Son of God." And of course, we've just celebrated that at Christmas. Now, I think in some ways we might find that somewhat odd, but if you go through the Gospels, you really discover that the only testimony that matters to Jesus is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. He really doesn't need human testimony. He says that in John's Gospel over and over again. "I don't need human testimony." In fact, when they came to make him king and put him up on their shoulders, you know, he was showing all this power and healing, he ran away from them. I don't even want your human testimony. And then there's those odd times where he does heal someone and he says, "Now don't tell anybody." What? Don't you want him to go out and tell everyone about it so you can become well known? No. He doesn't want human testimony. See, as of that moment, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet. It's only after the crucifixion and resurrection and the ascension that the Holy Spirit is given. He says to the apostles even, now, he's about to ascend into heaven, and he says, "Look, go back into Jerusalem, await until you get power from on high, and then start testifying." Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we have no testimony to give. And he doesn't want our human testimony. Like maybe a lot of hits on Facebook or whatever. It means nothing to him. But you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that might think of the Catholic Church as being, even Catholics, I mean, even some people that are high up in the Catholic Church maybe think this, that we're kind of in the business of a sort of Madison Avenue approach to public relations in the Catholic Church. We've got to go out there and sell ourselves to the culture so that our message becomes credible. Now, in a Madison Avenue approach to, for example, what's happening here, I'm sure even some people in the church even think of what's happening here is like, I take a Madison Avenue approach to my preaching. So what do I do in my preparation all week? Well, I go to my preparation and I sit there and I try to calculate, how can I sell myself to these people so they'll like me? Now, who's at the center of that message? Me. That's dead. I mean, I'm going to testify to you? I mean, that's useless. So I calculate it so I can endear myself to you. And of course, I do that so that when you hear my message, it'll be credible. And you'll walk out and you say, "Oh, Father Dan's such a great guy. His message must be true." See, that's not what's happening here. Jesus says of those that are sent, "Those who receive you, receive me. Those who reject you, reject me." Now, in a Madison Avenue approach to what's going on in the pulpit, I'm the only one here. God has nothing to do with that. Now, in my own homily preps, it just so happens that what I tend to do is go to prayer. And I ask the Lord, what do you have to say to your people this weekend? Usually begins like on Monday in preparation for the following Sunday. And I'll tell you, sometimes, you know what? I really don't want to give that message, Lord. I don't think I want to give that message. I remember one time, for example, and he'll enter into it any way he wants. That's up to him. I just go in and I ask, what do you want to say to your people? Well, one time I was in prayer when I was still teaching at Franciscan University, and I was in prayer at the chapel of the friary there on the campus where the Franciscan friars lived. And I'm asking the Lord, so Lord, I got the homily this coming Sunday with the university students. What would you have to say to the university students? And I heard him say, tell them I'm contracepting today. What? Tell them I'm contracepting today. I thought, well, that's really weird. What does that mean? So I kept, for that week, I kept taking that to prayer. Well, what it means is, if he's contracepting, the life principle in his love is suppressed, which means that when I'm hearing confessions, he's loving on you a whole lot, but since he's contracepting, there's no life in his love, and so you're walking out of the confessional dead in your sins still, because the life principle is suppressed. Or we come to this Eucharist. He loves us, but because he's contracepting, there's no pledge of future glory being given to us in terms of future eternal life. Because he's contracepting today. There's no life in his love. So he's not bestowing eternal life upon you. You kind of get the idea. And at the end of the day, what it really means is life and love can't be separated, which is why it's called artificial birth control. It's artificial love, because love gives life. That's what it does. Where do I learn that? God, he is love, and his love bestows eternity of life, fullness of life, and they can't be separated. Now, I have to admit, I didn't exactly look forward to preaching that. And if I hadn't, I probably should have gone to confession. I did preach it, but... And it's not even that I try to be a jerk from up here, but if our Lord has something to say, I bear testimony, because he has something to say. And you know, it's not always propositional, you know, coming in sentences, like in that case, tell them I'm contracepting today. It's not like that. Sometimes he just introduces himself unannounced, and I don't even know he's doing it. And that's the case with, this is a letter I got. It's postmarked December 29th, 1988. Now, I was ordained a priest in May of 1987, and in December of 1987, I went back to the parish where I was a deacon. And I was a priest now, and I'm having Mass. 1 year later, I get this letter. It's my first semester after my first semester at Franciscan University. I got there in September of 1988. This is December 1988, 1 year after I was at that parish in my first year of priesthood. She sends this letter. I don't even know who this is. But let me read this to you. It's a fascinating little letter, and I've saved it all these years. Just one little page here. Dear Father Dan, hi, I just wanted to tell you what a difference you made in my life about a year ago. I am 18 years old, and I was at the Christmas Mass at Holy Spirit Church last year. I was feeling quite down about Christmas. Sound familiar? And felt that no one cared if I was living or dead. All throughout Mass, I felt like crying. After Mass, as you were coming down the aisle, you gave me a big, warm smile and wished me a Merry Christmas. It was then that I realized that someone cared. Jesus! It brightened up my whole day. I just wanted to finally tell you how grateful I am. I hope that you have a great new year. Denise. She doesn't say, I knew someone cared, Father Dan. No, she said, I knew someone cared, Jesus. That's amazing. I didn't even know it happened. And wouldn't have unless she had written me a whole year later. I don't have that kind of impact on people. Jesus does. My word goes to your ear and stops. The word, big W, goes to your heart. My little word, small W, goes to your ears. But I'm testifying. And the big word goes to your heart. And that's with you for all eternity. And this is how it works. The Holy Spirit is in constant search of partners in the work of redemption. We don't ever stop him from doing what he does. This is all he does. He's constantly witnessing and testifying to Jesus, and he's looking for partners that will help him do that. He's going to keep doing that until the second coming. The only thing we can do is kind of check out of that by adopting the spirit of the world, the spirit of the flesh, the spirit of the devil, maybe the spirits in a bottle of wine, the spirits in a bong, I don't know, whatever it might be. But we don't stop the Holy Spirit from looking for partners in the work of redemption. We receive the Holy Spirit in baptism. He's living in you right now. And he blows where he wills. I don't control the Holy Spirit. You don't control the Holy Spirit. The only thing we do is we check out from living in accord with the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't stop him from looking for other partners. He's constantly looking for partners. He's the one who bears testimony to Jesus, and he won't do it without us. That's how this works. And you know, another very important thing, this is the Bible. This is not newsprint. Because of that, when I open this book, it's bearing testimony to the living God. And my faith receives that. My faith gets instructed. My faith gets built up when I read this book, because it's not newsprint. This isn't like the Fort Worth newspaper. The primary author of this book is the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have other human authors, but guess what? Like you and me, they weren't just doing the Madison Avenue approach of trying to, how can I sell this new religion to these people? No, they just bore testimony to the Holy Spirit, who's always constantly bearing testimony to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, present in this tabernacle. When you enter a church, testimony is being given by the Father. Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Oh, it gets so quiet. It gets so quiet. I'm not used to that. But we need to hear. We need to listen. We need to take it in and recognize. Then we become partners in the work of redemption. All of us do. This isn't just for me because I'm a priest. You too have been consecrated in the Holy Spirit. And we seek to live in accord with the Spirit. And let him blow where he wills while you're at work. You don't control him. He'll speak. He'll do what he does. You just want to be open. by living in accord with the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, today we recognize we aren't living in a world that is only one floor and like there's no second floor. No, there's a huge mansion here and there's a whole lot of floors we have. There hasn't been a great divorce between this world and the next. Christmas celebrated that. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And he's right down in the details of your life, trying to reach out to others. Right within your own family, at the workplace. Let's seek to live in keeping with the Spirit of the living God. Yes, do we get tempted? Of course we do. Are we weak? Yes, we are. We are tempted to be seduced by the spirit of the world, the spirit of the flesh, the spirit of the devil. Yes, but we keep coming back to the Holy Spirit because God is with us. That's what we celebrated at Christmas.